Hi, this is Anthony from New Diet. Welcome to Notes and Bolts.
Listening to the Notes and Bolts interview series. Today I'm here with Anthony from The New Diet. How are you?
I'm great.
So who are you missing?
I'm missing Dylan Kelly, bass player, George Uribe, drums, and Glenn Kroon, guitar.
So what is the history of The New Diet?
Well, it spans from 2003 up until now. In 2003, I was working a job at Circuit City, and I met this introverted guy named Brian Brosco, and we both had musical backgrounds. Him more as an avid fan and recorder, quote, producer, and me as someone that just wanted to break out of playing at churches or, kind of going wild and being able to record. And so he told me he had this studio, and so we started jamming, and we ended up starting a project before The New Diet that was called On Sale. That ended in like a year and a half, and he became the drummer of The New Diet after that project ceased. He was kind of an arrogant weirdo, and I love him for it, and he would always be persistent that I would be nothing without him. And it kind of hurt me in a way. Like, I was, you know, kind of like, you know, like, you know, it kind of pissed me off, but I didn't say much about it. But he also gave me this amazing opportunity to record, and he was really fun and crazy, and like, I didn't have that growing up as a teenager because I was in a high school that consisted of 20 people, and I didn't have a rock and roll outlet that I tried to tap into, but I wasn't allowed to. It was something I had to sneak away off to. So this was a golden opportunity. Just out of high school, I started ditching college classes and recording and just learning how to write songs that weren't church hymnals, and playing the rock and roll that I had to sneak off and listen to on the radio. Helmet, you know, just it was a time for me to turn an amp up to 10, like, and just play what I wanted to play. So that's how the New Diet started, and he was into it, but he ultimately, personalities clashed, and he was very arrogant and very persistent on his own project called The Unemployed. So, difference of opinion, I was looking for a bass player, and this fellow Juan came along and emailed me, joined the band. Soon after, Brian Brasco quit, but Juan was from the south side of Chicago, who knew George Uribe, who is currently the New Diet drummer. That's a point where I was looking for a new drummer, and Juan recruited him, and we jammed, and it was very magical, and George has this very spirited way, and chaotic, and he takes he's just pouring his spirit into every hit, and just played to a different beat that I've never heard, and that was very exciting, because I've only played with a handful of drummers, but we grew together. And he was 16 and I was like 21, and there was a huge age difference, but maturity wise I was still a high schooler because of my background, and I had a blast. I finally had some friends that were younger than me. I was buying booze for all of us, and we had a great time. George was playing in a band called Two Left Feet prior to jamming with me, who Dylan Kelly also played in, and they were like a emo punk band, and they had a great following, and for whatever reason they were having troubles with their band, and George ended up jumping ship and just fully playing with me, and then Dylan followed soon after. Since there's been a couple, but that's pretty much the three of us have been solid for about 10 years. Moving forward, in 2007 we finally cut our first EP after our recklessness and just trying to figure out what we were doing besides, you know, having a good time. It was called the Green EP, and it's something that we don't really ever give to anybody. It's something in our past that we have since moved on from. And things were going great for us, though, after that EP, and we were playing big shows, and this was during a period in the Chicago music scene where it was, you know, Fall Out Boy kind of ruled Arlington Heights, and there was this like emo scene happening, this emo pop scene happening in Arlington Heights, and we were kind of in that, and we were playing a lot of shows, and we had this EP, we bought a van, and we finally did a little tour out east, and then we ended up in Iowa in the middle of winter, like maybe 6 months after this huge accomplishment of having like a CD and a van, and everything was great. And the van's heat went out on us during this trip out to Iowa, and it was probably negative 10 degrees before the wind chill, and we had blankets on us all the way there. Visibility was really bad. We get there, we play a show, and we drank a lot that night, and the one sober driver was Adrian Serrano, who was the guitar player at that point. And he was in the band for about 8 years up until the beginning of this year. But he didn't have a license, so he was driving, and we're in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden, goom, 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 and just a huge, you know, explosion of an engine or something, and there's smoke everywhere, and we are stranded on this highway. The people we were following kept going, and we sat there in the freezing cold for a good hour and a half, huddling, fearing our lives. So it was just that whole trip changed the band for good. As it turned out, the van was unfixable. It took us forever to find a way back home. There was no cargo van. There was no like passenger van. There was only a 17-foot cargo truck that we could rent. And I was the only one old enough to drive it at the time, and four of the guys had a pile up in the back of this thing, pitch black. And they did everything they could to stay warm, but I would lift that hatch up after a two-hour drive, and they would just come out just, you know, just freaking out, and just like, because they're drinking whiskey, trying to stay warm, you know, like, you can only imagine what it would be like in the back of a box truck, pitch black, freezing cold, no idea of what direction you're going, you know, drinking whiskey, smoking, you know, just being, you know, kid and trying to make the best of a moment. But we made it back, and when we made it back, we were practicing at Dylan's mom's place, Patty Sue Kelly, and she was our band mom, and she, you know, met us halfway and made sure that we got home, and she fed us. We kind of all just looked at each other like, you know, it's time to, like, you know, just kind of take a step back and like write and like focus our energy on being a better sounding band and not just having so much fun. And we kind of just took a step of maturity there, and that's when we recorded we started writing the song that will be played, called Miles and Days, and that was put out on Already Dead Records, Tapes and Records, in 2020.
So from there, what happened?
So after that, we honed down. We didn't have a van. We didn't completely love the Green EP, and we needed to write. And so we continued to do so, and we put out some demos, and we eventually needed to get out of our homes. We needed to get away from our families, and we needed something else. So we ended up looking for a place to set up our own studio and be able to do it full time. And we were thinking moving out of Chicago, like going to Portland maybe, or, you know, just getting really, you know, we're just dreaming. And our friend Kelsey ended up, she was also looking for a place, and she did some looking on Craigslist, and she found a warehouse. And we're like, she told us about it, and I was like, yeah, you know, I'd love to check it out. And Dylan was all about it, George was all about it. So we go and we check out this place. It's in, you know, 21st and Kedzie, not the greatest neighborhood, and we didn't care. We just wanted to be somewhere where we can, like, kind of, you know, put more time into what we love and not be restricted by noise. So we get there, and it turns out that we end up in one of the probably, it'll go down as one of the most historic you know, DIY venues that ever existed in Chicago, with Mortville and Treasure Town. And we had no idea that they even existed. We thought we were in our own little world, and we ended up in this awesome place of crazy shows and art, and it just completely, that was another just mind-blowing experience. And we lived there for 2 years, and during that time we recorded the Common Cold EP, which was done there. And so that was released in 2011. And Miles and Days, the Van song, was actually released in 2012. It was after the EP. So it's kind of a weird timeline. But it's taken us a while. It took us a while to even get to that point, to have two EPs and a, you know, 7-inch record split. But it was amazing. We were able to host shows there, meet people from out of town, you know, sleep in our own, like, lofts that we built ourselves, and, you know, in trying to sleep for work. You know, there would be a show happening or some event or some confrontation happening in the hallway outside of our rooms. And I feel like during that time, like, just absorbed so many interactions and emotional experiences and sounds and harsh noise and psychedelic and hardcore music, like everything happened. And I feel like that just kind of, like, that was the melting pot, and that's when we grew as a band again. And the only downfall to that living experience was the dedication to recording and writing, because we started throwing shows, and it was more about cleaning up and who's coming next, and Bitch Pork's happening, and, you know, it just didn't happen the way we thought it would. I mean, we accomplished some things, but we also kind of, we were living together, but almost fell apart. And that took us to where we were evicted, because NATO summit came and there was city officials that bombarded the place a week before the summit, and saw anarchist signs on the walls that, you know, there was no one there living, you know, dangerously or, you know, with any intent to hurt anybody. It was all for good cause. And so, you know, the warehouse, as most know in Chicago, just deceased, and we all went our separate ways. Then we started writing in our own spaces, and we didn't live with each other anymore as a band, and we reconnected with Matt Wenzel, who recorded the Common Cold EP, and we set out to go to Champaign to record on his 8-track Reel to Reel. And we didn't necessarily go completely prepared, and that's kind of us anyways. We've always been loose, and our sound has always been, get us in a room, let's get some good vibes going. And we had a structure of songs that we were ready to record, but there's definitely some uncertainty going in. And so we land the first night, and we're hanging out with Matt and George, our drummer. He's just a free spirit, was running around doing his West Side Story routine or something, and he ended up blowing out his knee before we even recorded a track. So, you know, we wake up the next morning and his knee is the size of a cantaloupe, and, you know, he's in tons of pain, and proceeded to fight through it, and George wasn't gonna stop him, you know, it's not him. So we did, and you know, he would record a track and go to sleep for a little while, and then, you know, the three other members, Dylan, Adrian, and I would, you know, kind of go through a song, make sure our parts are ready, and then we'd wake him up, give him a shot of whiskey, get back on the drum kit, and so on and so forth. So the weekend ended up being pretty successful. We also had some really fun improvised songs come off of that album, inspired by the Basement Tapes by Bob Dylan and the band that we're really into, except we're nothing like that.
Now the sunshine keeps on looking.
So what's the plan for the future?
The future is unknown, but we want to put out an LP, and we have support from Josh Tabia, already dead, and he's behind us 100%, and he really likes what we're doing, and we're constantly taking that melting pot and stirring it around, and we're trying to create a new sound as always. I mean, New Diet's been around for 10 plus years and continually changing, and it's kind of a lifestyle, and it's just something, it's kind of like a cold, you know. It's just, going forward, we're at the point where we're demoing. We never really had the opportunity to we never took the opportunity to really demo out songs before recording them properly, and we're doing that now, and I'm on the 4-track and trying to create new ambiance around song structures. And so currently we are working on an LP that will be released hopefully in the beginning of 2015. We are demoing. We are also, you know, in our communities and helping out our friends on tour, and Dylan has his GoPros and he's out and about, and you can find really, really great performances by local acts and touring as well. And we're just chugging along. Somehow made it this far, and we love what we do, and we just want to continue to contribute to Chicago, and it's our passion, and hopefully we can bring our spirit to other cities, and they'll want to visit us.
All right, well, thank you for being on today.
Thank you.
To check out past episodes of Notes and Bolts, you can go to notesandbolts.net. You can also check out The New Diet at thenewdiet.bandcamp, as well as facebook.com/thenewdiet. This has been the Notes and Bolts interview series.